Yes, that very well may happen. But that might happen. That's true. But that desires concept is key. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you what your heart should desire. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will put His desires in your heart. So what you desire is what He desires. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, befriend faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will put His desires within you. When you desire to encourage, comfort, exhort, edify someone, and when you are in line with God, delighting yourself in Him, your desires are His desires. Now, we can still say them wrongly. You know what I mean? I know exactly what you're talking about, as far as like having such a passion for somebody to move forward in their relationship with God that oftentimes I'm behind them pushing them up a hill. You know, and that's not encouragement a lot of times. But that desire just needs, that doesn't mean that the desire is wrong. It just means that my communicative pattern might be, need to be shifted. That the way it is that I say or express things might need to be different. But my heart, my desire in that place, that's right on. That's God's desire. That's God's want for them. You know, Barry sees Chuck walking into church. What does Barry want for Chuck? Does Barry want to pull something more off Chuck to make himself feel better? No, this is Barry we're talking about. He doesn't work like that. Barry loves the Lord. Barry trusts in the Lord. Barry's life evidences it. Barry is very present where he is. He's aware of what God's doing. And Barry delights himself in God. Barry's desire to see Chuck's countenance lifted, to see the weight taken off his shoulders, isn't something that might make Barry feel great if he can minister that to Chuck. That's fantastic, but that's not selfish. That's called fulfillment, which is exactly what God's desire is for Barry in this situation, is for Barry to be fulfilled. I mean, it's wonderful to be used by the Lord. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, and it's great to see Chuck be ministered to. And Chuck might not even get the weight lifted off his shoulders, but he'll know that there's somebody that's willing to carry it with him. And if the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, then that means that these two guys' stories have gotten linked more deeply with the story of Christ at the center. That is prophecy. And that's why prophecy can oftentimes be a prophetic act. You can actually speak truth by doing stuff and not ever saying a word, because your action carries words. You see this in the Old Testament all the time. You know, you see prophets doing some crazy things. I mean, Ezekiel walked around without pants for 400 days. He did it because God told him to. Imagine being that. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, what a shame that was. Like what a deep shame that was. And he did it because God told him to. He cut his robe off. Yeah. Right. I just made it American. Yeah. Yeah, he cut his robe off right here. Yeah. Ezekiel was not allowed to mourn the death of his wife. He and his wife were close, and he was not allowed to grieve at her funeral or at any point in time afterward, as a prophetic act to show that God had reached his pinnacle with his people and he was done. And this woman that he loved was now dead to him, and he was going to rebirth her as something else that we know as the church. But can you imagine being Ezekiel? He's a crazy guy that cuts his robe in half and it doesn't mourn for his wife. Why? Well, because he's prophetic. Oh, he's prophetic. Deeply confident in who you are in God, then you can't do those kinds of things. Without those kinds of things, we would not have the book of Ezekiel. We would not have the testimony of Israel as revealed through Ezekiel. We would have no clue about the river of healing or about the valley of dry bones. All these things that we so deeply need. You know, these prophetic acts are key. John the Baptist wore, what did he wear? Camel's hair. And what did he eat? Locus. That's right. That's right. The problem with John the Baptist is he was so good at his prophetic ministry. When you read Josephus and writing about John the Baptist, John the Baptist was like the Brad Pitt of his day. I mean, everybody just loved John the Baptist. They would flock from miles around. He's a big movie star. Right, Tom? Yeah. Gregory Peck. I'm just going back. I'm going old school, Glenn. I'm gonna find somebody. the Perry Mason. that's good. And so his problem was his celebrity. His celebrity would sometimes detract from the power of his story. And so he chose an ascetic life. Camel hair, if you take camel hair, and they would wear it inside out. This was a typical prophetic thing. If you take a camel's hair and put it under a microscope, you know what it has on the end? It's got a barb on the end. It comes out and boom. It makes an arrow almost. Very, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable against bare skin. But they would actually turn that thing around and wear that thing against their skin and just as a constant reminder that they needed to be aware of who they were and what God was saying. He's eating locusts mixed with wild honey. He's living off of the land, off of things that live off the land. The bees live off the land. He lives off the bees. The locusts live off the land. He lives off the locusts. So he is even stepping himself away from even further these natural tendencies to make, it's a prophetic act to say that I am not of you. Because his call was to prophesy against Israel, not for. John the Baptist's prophetic word was only negative, and it was a call to repentance. It was a call to cleansing. It was a way to prepare the way for the word of the Lord, but he had to be prophetically acting in order for that to happen. So this is a distinct possibility for you to do all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, fasting is a prophetic act. Fasting is saying, I am going to choose God over something else, food, water, screens is a great thing to fast from these days. The phone, email, work. Yeah. Anything, fasting is a prophetic act. It's a declaration of God's word saying, I'm going to love God more. I'm going to focus on God more. It's a way to align ourselves. These were, but again, it's for edification, encouragement, comfort. Those are the three purposes. And so when we walk into those dynamics and into those situations, and when we are fully in line with God, delighting ourselves in the Lord, our desires are his desires. And so what he wants is then transmitted into the environment. I was in a church not long ago representing teaching the word, and this church is not moving in obedience. They're deeply gripped by fear, and they've heard God's word to them from the scriptures, like thus saith the Lord word. And I even sat down with a few of their leaders and across a table and said, do you understand what God's word says? Yes. You understand what it's asking you to do as far as leading this congregation? Yes. Are you going to do it? No. Is that kind of a situation? I ministered in that congregation on a Sunday morning at one point, and I took my wife with me. And Sherry's very sensitive to the Spirit. She moves in prophetic ministry, especially in ways of encouragement. We got to this church, and as soon as we walked in the door, my wife started crying. She had never been there before. She'd never met a single person, and I didn't tell her a thing about the situation. I didn't want her to go in jaded or judging or anything like that, or put some stumbling block there. We were just going to church, and I was going to preach, and she could come with me that day. As soon as we got there, she started crying. She started weeping, and it was, she couldn't stop We were there for 2 hours, and she cried for the majority of the time. You know, and people were a little weirded out by it. Like, what, you know, are you okay? Yes, she's fine. I knew pretty quickly what was going on. She was expressing the Father's heart for this place. She was prophetically engaging the atmosphere. She didn't need to say anything. She wasn't there to bring a word of rebuke or anything like that. But in that spot, somebody needed to cry for that church because they would not cry for themselves. And God chose her to love that congregation in that way, to grieve over the sin that was in their midst. That's prophetic ministry.
Did they figure that out?
No, not yet. I don't know what's going to happen. That's a good question. Well, I debriefed with, because one of those elders at that congregation, at that meeting, said, I couldn't help noticing your wife was really emotional today. Is everything okay? And I just simply said, brother, everything's not okay. She's okay. You're not, and this church is not. And it's being led in the wrong direction, and God is grieved by that. And Sherry was feeling God's heart for you and for this church and for the spot that you're in. I think he was very sobered by that. So we meet again next week. We'll see. Well, you know, we'll see. Right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. But those are the kinds of things that prophetic, and I'm sure Keith talked to you about this as well, as far as listening to the whole of who you are. Like there was a reason for Sherry's tears. Could we have chalked it up just to the idea that Sherry was emotional that day? We could have done that, I guess. Except that Sherry was very much in line with God, trusting in the Lord, doing good. She was present where she was. She was walking by faith, delighting herself in God. And God's desire was to weep. And she wept. You know, so for us to just be like, that was an emotional Sunday. Nope. We know what that's like. You know, Sherry knows what that's like, to be stressed out beyond belief and to just be in a bad spot and to need to release with tears. That wasn't this. You know, that wasn't this. This was something else. This was the heart of God being revealed. And so listening, not just to your mind, but listening to the whole of who you are is important. It is important. God speaks through all kinds of ways. He speaks through all kinds of ways. I mean, Jesus loves to engage with the fullness of who you are. He takes children onto his lap. He plays in the dirt more than once. You ever notice that? One time he hocks a loogie on the ground and starts playing with it. You know, that's like something your five-year-old does. And then he starts rubbing it on a guy's eyes. This is what Jesus does. He engages our bodies. He engages our minds. He engages our spirits. And I think that he continues to do so. And he continues to manifest himself and to work things out. About in 2009, I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I felt like somebody was stabbing me with a knife right here. And it went about 6 inches in, all the way in, like right here. It was the most vicious pain that I ever experienced. I don't know what a pinched nerve feels like, but like it was horrific. It's one of those things where I couldn't turn my head that way. You know, like I have a stinger sometimes. You sleep weird on your pillow or whatever. Except that I've had those, and that wasn't this. Something was going on here. And then when I woke up that morning, like I couldn't, my shoulders were like, basically everything was frozen in place. I had no idea what to do. I knew I needed somebody to pray for me because I had a day to get off. So I called Dolores. Dolores Miller is like, we don't have a lot of older folks at